Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're doing part 55 of how to have God's life living in you. And also, this is program number 157. If you'd like to have a copy of it, we'll tell you at the end how to receive it on disc, CD, or tape. We have a few things to read today. But right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, as you breathed into the nostrils of the disciples when they were in a locked room, giving them a preliminary dose of your Holy Spirit. This was only preliminary dose. They were saved because of your Spirit. You said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and you breathed into them. But then later you instructed them to tarry in the upper room in Jerusalem to receive the preliminary, but the permanent indwelling Holy Spirit. Now when I pray, Father, to you, I ask for outward anointing because I already have the inward anointing. I've received your baptism, my baptism in the Holy Spirit. I have that. But when I want to, and I'm saying this because I know you know what I'm going to say, but I'm not saying it, Lord, for your benefit. I'm saying it for the benefit of those that are out in radio land and in this church, your body, the foundation of the New Jerusalem. We have, those of us that have received more than a preliminary dose of the Holy Spirit of your indwelling in us, when we accept you as our personal Savior, but when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive the permanent indwelling Spirit where you, the Comforter, dwell inwardly and in us and give us the strength to continue on to the end, not as laymen necessarily, but eventually as your chosen people bringing messages as ministers or angels, messengers from you to preach this life-giving word of yours. Lord, baptize me, anoint me as you anointed with the preliminary. Now anoint with the permanency of your Spirit. Talk through me. I am to be but a instrument for you to deliver your message to the people in Radio Land, to the church, and to the unsaved. You love the world, the people of the world, so much, even while they were in their sins, all of us, that you gave your only begotten Son. You came to the world in a man named Jesus and allowed yourself, the Holy Spirit, and the Son to be crucified for us all. Because you're omnipotent, you're everywhere. The universe cannot hold you, but you lived in that man and gave that human being such power with the permanency of the indwelling Spirit of yourself, the Godhead, the triune Godhead, that he was able to go through all the wickedness that he had to go through in order to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of our souls here on earth. Then he resurrected and was able to give us the same power after he ascended into the kingdom of God. And he sits now in the highest place in heaven, and is anointing people with the temporary spirit and then the permanent spirit, the indwelling spirit that occupies our spirits, enabling us to be your instruments. Lord, we ask that you anoint this service inward, outwardly, as you did the holy prophets in the past, and talk right through me, that souls can be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now, some lady sent me a book that she'd written, and I have her letter here, and it's really a good letter, and I read a little bit of her book, and it's a real good book, and she wants me to publish it and put it out. So I'm going to let you hear her letter, and then we're going to read a little bit from her book. And then there's another book here that is that I like. I just read a couple of pages of it today, and I would like to have the sisters here read a small section of it on this tape. So I'll go ahead and read it.
From Cheryl Thompson, Gospel Ministries.
Okay, so Cheryl Thompson is the head of the Gospel Ministries, and she's the one that wrote the book.
An American citizen who has lived in Canada 25 years, March 27, 2006.
Right, the folks out in Radio Land would like to hear a little bit about her and what she's about and her name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so we have printing presses, and so we may very well print the book. I haven't read it all yet. But go ahead and finish the letter.
Dear Pastor Tony, I have been seeking God as a minister of the gospel myself to find other Christians who have seen through the false gospel which has been taught so widely around the world. A man in Northern Ontario whom I speak to about twice a year knows I sometimes listen to shortwave, and he told me to listen to your program. That was 1 week ago now. I am so excited. I praise God for this opportunity to write to you. I hope what I am sending you will also bless you and touch many lives for His glory and soon coming kingdom. Hallelujah. I thank God that He brought you through the persecution you and the ministry were subjected to, and I grieve for the victims of Waco and those who survived the siege and are still in prison. I pray that the true perpetrators of Oklahoma City and 9/11 are brought to justice before they launch another major attack on the innocent as part of their far-reaching plans. I have taken a good look at some of the materials posted on your website. I am in total agreement. I am also fully aware of the horrible corruption in the USA, Canada, the EU, worldwide, through the Illuminati, the Masons, and the Vatican. For several years, going back to the midnight...
The Illuminati, the Masons, and Vatican are all one. All right. All right, then what?
For several years, going back to the mid-1990s, I have studied these issues. I also know that people are terribly deceived who think the nation-state of Israel must be supported by all Christians looking to the reconstruction in Jerusalem of the Temple of God.
Right, the temple that they say they're building that's going to be the Temple of God is a sham. They're building it for Satan. And you shouldn't back that up at all. If you do, you'll be cursed by the Lord. The Temple of God are people that have God living in them, and He's working in them and through them. And that is when you receive Christ as your personal Savior by the Spirit with His Father. All right, then what?
Nonsense. Meanwhile, they look the other way as Israel both overtly and covertly commits atrocities. What I am sending to you enclosed is my own book, just finished, and it runs about 20,000 words.
Well, there are a lot of people that are committing atrocities against Israel. And there are some good Jews and bad Jews, just like Jesus said. Jesus, being the world's greatest Jew, told the people, many of the people of Israel, that they were the synagogue of Satan. Amen? But his first followers were all Jews, but there were a lot of Jews that were the synagogue of Satan. There's good and bad in every race. Amen?
Amen.
There's good Irish people and there's bad ones. There's good Puerto Ricans and there's bad ones. There's good Mexicans and there's bad ones. There's good of every race, Germans, Japanese, Chinese. There's good and bad. I know a lot of great Chinese people. The best in the world that I know, you know, these Chinese people. Many of them have died cruel deaths because of their stance for the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be persecuting any race because they do bad things. There's a lot of good black people. There's a lot of bad ones. Just like everybody else, amen?
Mm-hmm.
So don't persecute a race because some of them are doing have done evil. All right, then what?
The title of the book is Aid and Comfort the Enemy. This book presents the exact same gospel you are preaching, and it also presents a lot of information on how Christians become demonized and how to set them free in deliverance. I know you don't have a lot of time as you write, record teaching tapes, and travel so much.
Well, I don't travel so much these days, but there are like thousands of different questions that come into me that I sit here and people read these questions to me and I answer them because I'm right at the throne of the Lord and it's very easy to answer them quickly. And I've studied the gospel for a good many years. It's going on 41 and a half years. So people say, well, how do you know all the answers? Well, I don't, but I'm sitting there with Christ in heavenly places and he talks. If you can talk, you can believe that God can talk as well. God is the one that gave languages to everybody, and he understands everybody. If you're speaking to him in Russian, he understands what you're saying. Or if you're talking to him in any language, he understands what you're saying, and he can talk back to you. You know, God is a linguist, you know, a linguist. He can lingue any way you want to go. Amen?
Amen.
So don't cut him short that he can't talk. So that's why I sit up there with him by the Spirit in heavenly places so that I can hear clear as a bell from him in order to be able to tell you folks what he's saying. All right, then what?
I also realize you are dealing with glaucoma. I am printing this letter in large print, so I hope you can read this personally and that it will reach your heart. I want no money out of this book, but my prayer is that you will see its value and will undertake to have it duplicated and translated into many languages so it will go around the world as part of the outreach of Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. That is my sole purpose in sending it to you.
Well, I'm going to read it all the way through, and if I agree with it 100%, I'm definitely putting your name on it. I'll just say distributed by Tony, World Pastor Tony Lamo. All right, how's that? Then what? Because I believe so far the things that I've read. Then what?
Jesus gave me the strength to write it. May he also, by his Holy Spirit, give you the godly desire and the means and method to distribute it. I also enclose a recent flyer I have written and have been distributing in Ontario, Canada. Pastor Lamo, I am experienced in many areas, including street evangelism, witnessing, tract distribution, television production.
Well, I need somebody in television production if you'd like to come down. That's the only thing preventing us from doing TV is that we don't have a good staff experienced in television production. And as you know, I can't see that well anymore, and I don't see much these days. But I see enough to read on my reading machine, and I get around, but I need somebody that can see those little dials and really knows how to use the dials and knows how to tell the cameraman the angles and everything. Somebody in the production room. And if you want to come aboard over here, you're welcome as the flowers in May. Okay, then what?
Legal, secretarial, property management.
We could use that too, property management, because there's a lot of people that own their own properties that are in the church, and they need to be managed. They don't really keep up with when taxes are due on it, and I keep stressing and for them to keep up on that so that they don't have their houses, their properties taken away from them. Okay, then what?
Writing, public relations, singing, recording.
We could use PR too, and singing, and we need some. We have really good recording facilities and management here in Hollywood, the Los Angeles area, but we could use somebody for sure in the Texas, Arkansas area. Okay, then what else? We'd love to have you. All right, then what else?
Jesus knows I am an expressive and creative individual, for he made me this way.
Amen. Then what?
I left the cesspool of the Hollywood TV film business as you did back in 1980.
Well, I left it back in the 60s. I left about 20 years before you. Yeah, but praise the Lord does it in his own good timing. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Perhaps someday, if it is God's will, you and I will meet.
Well, I would think it would be his will. Amen?
Amen.
Because you could certainly help our ministry, which would be your ministry as well. All of us in this same ministry get the same reward because we're in the same body with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
If not on this earth, we will meet in heaven.
Amen.
I presently am living in an apartment in northern Ontario after much travel in Canada and the northeastern United States recently. It's a good thing I enjoy driving long distances.
I lived in northern Ontario as well, and also Manitoba, Winnipeg, Manitoba to be exact, and Toronto, Ontario, and London, Ontario. Or rather, London, Ontario. And then I've been in the rock and roll era in Windsor, Ontario, where we did these record, what they called record hops back then in the 60s, where there'd be 10, 20, 30,000 people. Okay, and then what?
I have no dependents except for a small young terrier who has been my only friend through much heartache, and the Lord knows he is my best friend.
Well, I would say the Lord is your best friend, amen.
Amen.
And the terrier comes way down the line. Because if we're your friends, then we would be preferred, I'm sure, above the terrier. Okay, then what?
My husband took early retirement from TV editing work, and he is living on the island of Newfoundland. His walk with the Lord has not been a faithful one, but he is now listening to your broadcasts, reading the Word again, praying again, and I feel God is reaching him.
Well, we really pray that he gets involved, too. We need good TV editors. But although when we had our television program on for 10 years, we never edited one. We just ran from the beginning to the end, and that was the program. Mistakes, if there were any, which I didn't detect any, and all. All right, then what?
We may be reunited soon. I don't really know. I do know God is able to heal if we repent. Rejoicing to see the truth preached and always seeking him for new opportunities of witness and service, I have become and will remain his obedient servant and your caring sister in Christ Jesus, Cheryl from Canada. Ontario, Canada.
All right, Northern Ontario, Canada. Amen. Okay, so let's get her book here and read a couple of pages of it. Now the book is entitled again,
Aid and Comfort the Enemy, to the Enemy.
All right, here we go.
The Enemy. I am more powerful than the combined armies of the world.
What she's doing is characterizing the things that Satan is saying. Start again. This is Satan talking. Okay, go ahead.
I am more powerful than the combined armies of the world. I have destroyed more men than all the wars of all nations. I massacre thousands of people every year. I am more deadly than bullets, and I have wrecked more homes than tornadoes and hurricanes.
This is not the Lord talking. This is the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In the United States alone, I steal over $500 million each year.
That's way more than that. Then what else?
I spare no one, and I find victims among the rich and poor alike, the young and old, the strong and weak. Widows know me to their everlasting sorrow. I cast my shadow over every field of labor. I lurk in unseen places and do most of my work silently. You are warned against me, yet you heed me not. I am relentless, merciless, and cruel. I am everywhere, in the home, on the streets, in the factory, at railroad crossings, on land, air, and sea.
Yeah, and this person, you know who it is? It is you. The person's name is negligence. You neglect to listen to the word of the Lord. The Lord says that my people perish for a lack of negligence, to ignore his knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Keep going.
I bring sickness, degradation, and death. I can rob you of everything you have. I am your worst enemy. I am carelessness.
Mm-hmm. Carelessness or negligence. Amen?
Amen.
The whole body, I mean, I just see so much negligence and carelessness among people that are Christians. Okay, keep going.
From a publication of Western Airlines, quoted in Unmasking Satan by Richard Mayhew. Carelessness is one form of Satan's assault on the mind, of which there are many. It is an example...
Right, our mind is supposed to be the mind of Christ. But if you don't make your mind the mind of Christ, then you're careless, negligent. Amen?
Amen.
So read that statement again. And don't read so fast.
Sir. Carelessness is one form of Satan's assault on the mind, of which there
are many. Assault on the mind that's supposed to be the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, there's no possible way that Satan can assault it, because you will pull down every thought that comes into the mind in intent of any evil thing that comes to you. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're negligent, if you're careless, you just let the devil have a ball with you. He'll have fun with you and clap his hands sitting on a telephone wire laughing at you. Okay, then what?
It is an example of an affliction which, as all too common in our experience, is seldom traced to the root.
The root is carelessness, negligence, she's saying. Amen?
Amen.
And she's right. Then what? Because we need to put on the full armor of God. If you don't, then you're negligent. That's like walking out to battle with a paper hat and a little wooden sword. Okay? And a Halloween costume. Okay, then what?
Actually, spiritual reality underlies all human experience. The quote...
Read that again.
Actually, spiritual reality underlies all human experience.
Right. You must become realistic in your walk with the Lord. You must put on the full armor of God. You must guard your mind. You must guard the things you hear and see. And you must fight Satan. If you have stopped fighting Satan, then the salt has lost its savor. Salt is good, the Lord says. He wants you to be salty and fighting. But if there's no salt in you, then you just let the devil have his way with you. You don't protect your mind. You don't have any armor on. You don't have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You're not girt about with the truth. Your loins are not covered. You don't have the shield of faith, the double-edged sword, the shoes or the boots of the gospel, and you're not prepared to be in battle. You're not prepared. You're careless. You're negligent. You don't fight the devil, and the salt has lost its savor or flavor, and you're nothing good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men and the hooves of horses and the tires of vehicles. Then what?
The, quote, mind of Christ, unquote, is never careless. Almighty God does nothing through carelessness, chance, or accident, does he?
No, everything is precise, concise. Every word is like dynamite, more than dynamite. It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is planned. Then what?
The Apostle Paul alerted the church at Corinth to their chief foe.
I think I'm going to edit this here and put some put my 2 cents in there that the Lord gives me as well. Amen.
Amen.
We'll beef this book up. Okay, then what else?
Quote, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, unquote.
Right, but most people are ignorant of his devices or think that God is talking through his hat. In other words, just getting a bunch of words together to make a book called the Bible. No, all those words are spirit, and they are life, and they're warnings to you from God. And if you won't take his warnings, then you're sad. Because if you don't, the Bible says that anyone that adds to the Bible or takes away from it, or anyone that preaches another gospel than that which has been preached, such as Judas, was a devil. And Jesus went on his own. He was not under the instructions of God. There are newspapers like USA Today are broadcasting that Judas, there's a book of Judas that they found in a cave. Isn't that something? The Vatican planted it there. Satan planted it there to make you believe that there's more to the Bible than there really is. There isn't anything more to the Bible. There are a few books in the Apocrypha, but there's not one word in the Bible that says anything other than that Judas was a devil, and he never did what he, after the devil entered into him, did exactly what Satan told him to do. He was not under the instructions of the Lord, but under the instructions of Satan to sell the Lord out. But as it worked out, Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus had to shed his blood. So don't make him a hero because the word of God, the word that the apostles preach and Jesus preach, it would be better for him, Judas, that he had never been born than to have... So he is in hell now, in eternity. And don't believe what these secular papers, they don't know the Lord, they don't know the Bible, they don't know the Holy Spirit, they don't have the Holy Spirit, so they can't, the words they're saying are not from God the Father, they're from Satan. And I would be risking blasphemy of the Holy Spirit to say that if this book were of the Lord, and I'm saying it's of the devil, that would be blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Do you think I'm going to risk my soul to say something like that?
Mm-hmm.
After all these years, 41 and a half years of serving the Lord and going through trials mm-hmm. and tribulations and prisons and beatings and stonings and character assassination that I've been through to sell my soul out just because I want to down something that the secular government came up with. This is from Rome, from Satan. This book, and also these things that they're saying in the media today that Jesus had sexual relationships with anybody, including Mary Magdalene. Nowhere is it recorded of that. And I've seen the Lord, and the Lord, I have a very privileged relationship with the Lord. If any of these things were true, the Lord would tell me instantly. But the Lord tells me that this is nothing but the devil that's telling you folks this. USA Today, and it's on MSNBC, telling you that Judas was a good disciple. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You know, you media out there, you better stop saying things like that. Or else there's not going to be any way that you can be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. Okay, so let's continue on with our book. I keep watching the news, not because I believe anything they say, but there's these red thumbs that come up all the time, and I just have to come against them. Because the Word of God says that whatsoever we bind here on earth, we that have the Spirit of God in us, shall also be bound in heaven. Now, the way you bind Satan here on this earth is to expose him. So if you don't expose Satan here on earth with trash like this or filth and blasphemy like this, then the Lord won't do anything about it. He sent us into this world to do the work of resisting and rebuking and exposing Satan. This is the way that you overcome Satan. This is the way that you bind Satan. If you don't expose him, well, then he's just going to be loosed on earth. And whatsoever you let Satan do, whatsoever you let him loose to do, the Lord's not going to stop him from heaven either. So you people that see Satan operating in your churches, on the street, in the newspapers, in the media, wherever it is, and you don't expose it, and if you're too cowardly to expose this, call up. Call me up, and I'll do it, because I love binding Satan here on earth so that God will bind him in heaven. Okay? Because that's why this world is in the condition today, is because the Christians, all of you, have got cold feet. You haven't got a gut on your body or in you. A spiritual gut. You're gutless. You're yellow. Cowards. Fearful and unbelieving. Now, to bind Satan, you must expose him. And then God will expose him and bind him from heaven. Now, if we don't bind Satan here, if we just let him run loose, well, God will let him run loose. But if we bind him here, he'll be bound here, and God will come down and do a lot of binding, more than we even did. He'll expose him even more than I did. Now, I exposed Satan as this Catholic cult as being a bunch of homosexuals, and the Pope himself, John Paul II, as being a homosexual and a child molester and a man that helped manufacture for IG Farben this gas to gas the Jews, to murder Jews. And they went and sold this gas to the death camps. And I exposed it, and then the Lord came down and exposed it as well, that all these priests and everything are homosexual. So God bound it and made you people know what that demonic Antichrist church in Rome is. That it's not really a church, it's the world's biggest cult, and they're the ones that are slinging out the mud and all this false stuff about me and other people. So help bind Satan here on this earth by exposing him. Don't be waving your arms, "I bind you, Satan, I bind you." I see him on TV, you know, just beating at the air like that's really hurting Satan. He's sitting there laughing at you and thumbing his nose at you. The way that you expose him, the way that you bind him, is expose him. Tell what he's doing, just like I'm telling you now, and that I've always done for all these years. Okay, now go ahead.
By both scriptural revelation and life's reality.
Read the sentence before.
The Apostle Paul alerted the church at Corinth to their chief foe, quote, "lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices," unquote.
No, we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant to what the Lord said either. The Lord says if we bind Satan here on earth, in other words, expose him, like if somebody's robbing a jewelry store at nighttime, and they think they're filling their bags full of jewels and everything, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes off, and the lights in the building go on, and then there's police. You can hear the sirens coming. Well, that binds that robber, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To just let him go, will that bind him?
No.
No, he'll fill the hole. He'll take all the inventory out of the jewelry store, and leave a little funny note there saying, "Ha ha." And that's what Satan's doing to all you folks out there. It's because you're cowards. Expose him. He wants you to fear him rather than God. If you don't fear him, if you expose him, he's bound, and God will really clean up on that weasel. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to trust the Lord. If you don't believe in the Lord's power and what he says, that he'll bind it in heaven. If you bind it on earth, if you don't believe that, well, then you're lost anyway, because the Bible says by faith in what he says, you're saved, and by doubt you're damned. So if you doubt, you're just going to let Satan run rampant, and the Lord's going to let it happen too, because Satan running rampant is going to affect you and your children and all your loved ones. You're guilty. You're guilty, and you're going to be judged for your cowardice at the judgment bar of God. You cowards. Then what?
The Apostle Paul alerted the church at Corinth to their chief foe, quote, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, unquote.
Yeah, you're letting Satan have an advantage of you and everybody else in the world by not exposing him. Amen?
Amen.
Because when you expose him, he's bound. He's bound up, he's tied up, he can't do anything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, then do it, or else. Or else maybe I'm sure the Lord will punish you severely for not doing what he says. Okay, then what?
Both scriptural revelation and life's reality, we know that Satan is a personal, formidable enemy. Christ himself faced his temptation in a wilderness experience, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Satan prevented Paul from returning to Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18.
Well, he was binding Paul. Paul didn't have the knowledge that we have today of a lot of things. He actually, you're not supposed to circumcise anybody today in the flesh. And he circumcised Timothy, and then he regretted it later. So he was like a babe also, but the Lord taught him many things, and God through Paul taught us many things. Amen?
Amen.
If you think I'm demeaning Paul, you're crazy. I'm just mentioning facts that are mentioned in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Paul wrote more than 2/3 of the New Testament, and it was right on. And when he did things that he wasn't supposed to, it's brought out. Okay, then what?
The archangel Michael contended with Satan over the body of Moses, Jude 9. Peter was the victim of Satan's painful sifting, Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32. Satan's clever deception robbed Adam and Eve of paradise when they became sinners condemned to death for rejecting God's truth and demand for obedience.
Now Peter, he had an excuse because he didn't have the permanent abiding of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in him. But after he was, that's why the Lord in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, he became a totally informed person, because Jesus said, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he'll teach you all things. Not only from the Bible. The Bible is like the book, that is the instruction book. But when God, the Father, the Son, Lord Jesus, lives in you with the Holy Spirit, then he teaches you second by second, minute by minute. Every time you ask questions, he's there to tell you. And when people are asking you questions that they do me all the time, I'm right there to get the answer right to them. By nature, in my natural self, I'm not that wise to be able to just rattle off answers. Never been able to. I've never been able to write until the Lord gave me the ability to write and to speak. When I'd write a letter, it was very crude. Hi, Mom. How are you? I hope fine. That kind of stuff. All right? All right. Well, when the Lord gives you the anointing and you seek for it and you love it, then that's a whole different story. Now put a marker there where we left off, and we'll go into this other book here for a bit. And we're telling you how to have God's life live in you. And the reason for it, so that you can take power and dominion over your mind, and so that you can receive answers from the Lord, your questions. Now the name of this book is?
The Enemy Unmasked.
And who's the author?
Bill Hughes.
All right, so let's start out for a little while here on chapter 1.
Divine Hand Over the United States. The United States of America is at the brink of total collapse. Once a great and powerful nation, the United States is now in a free fall to disaster from which she will never recover. A few more steps in its decline and it will be ruined. These are not easy words for a patriotic American to read. but nevertheless they are absolutely true. Tragically, it need not have come to this. As one looks at the history of nations, from Babylon to Rome to America.
No, right there again, is if people would have exposed Satan entering into our country. Almost everything in this country now is run by the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire is like an old empire that died. Now it's revived. And people think it's a new world order, but it's just the old Roman Empire. That's all it is. With the same wickedness that they had then. They want everything to be run by Satan. They're the ones that nailed Jesus to the cross, and they're the ones that persecute the Jews. If they persecuted Jesus, the world's greatest Jew, what do you think that they do to the other Jews? Why, the Vatican and their one of their puppets, Hitler, murdered 7 million in the gas chambers. And they're after Jews like myself. And even worse, I've got two strikes against me so far as the devil is concerned. Number one, I'm a Jew. First and foremost, I'm a Christian filled with the Spirit of God. And also a frontliner, a person that's binding Satan here on earth. And I got to do it because for my own self-preservation. Amen?
Amen.
I've got to expose him for my sake and for my family's sake and for the church's sake and for the family of the Lord, of the blessed people of God. I have to bind Satan here so that God will bind him in heaven. Okay, now go ahead.
As one looks at the history of nations, from Babylon to Rome to America, it is evident that a divine hand was protecting and guiding America. This country began as a few colonies on the eastern seaboard of this vast land and became a great nation. Alexis de Tocqueville, a young French philosopher of the last century, came to our shores to discover what magical quality enabled a handful of people to defeat the mighty British Empire twice in 35 years. He looked for the greatness of America in her fertile soil, her limitless forests, and natural resources. He examined America's schools, her Congress, and her unique Constitution without fully understanding the source of America's strength. It was not, he said later, until he went to the churches of America and found congregations aflame with righteousness that he began to comprehend the secret of this power. Upon his return to France, de Tocqueville wrote, quote, "America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good..."
Good, because they're godly. Amen. They were, but not now. Now they're letting newspapers like USA Today print stories that this book has been found in this cave in Egypt, and that it shows that Judas, who Christ said is a devil, that Judas is good. So you're letting Satan come in with all this false doctrine and lies about Jesus, that he had a child with Mary Magdalene, and that he didn't... just so many false things about him, so many false things about Judas, that he was a good man, and that those of us that are preaching the gospel today, that we're evil as well. Okay, go ahead.
If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great.
Well, it has ceased to be good. It's the Roman Empire has infiltrated in here, and the administration is doing the same rotten things that they did in Germany. They blew up burnt the Reichstag building, and they said it was somebody else so that the people of Germany would go to war. And so they blew up Pearl Harbor. So that they had the Japanese blow up Pearl Harbor so that we go to war. Our people, like FDR, he knew all about it. That's come out now, that he knew all about it. FDR, when somebody that they voted in, I think, four times as president, and he knew all about it. No wonder God made him crippled. Because he didn't walk uprightly before the Lord, and he wouldn't receive healing. He listen. He was a major puppet for the Vatican. And the same thing with the World Trade Center. That was just not a bunch of people not paying attention. That was a well-planned out thing. The whole building was laced with dynamite before those planes ever hit, or those rockets. And the Pentagon, and look at what our former president did to Waco and this lesbian Janet Reno. And they say they take full responsibility. Why didn't they get tried? Who are they, something special? Are they different kind of human beings? If he's so different, why did God allow him to have bypass surgeries? Amen?
Amen.
And if the Pope is God, how come he had a hose sticking out of his throat? Into his throat. He had his head bowed down to where he's looking at his shoes all the time. Is that God?
No.
No. It's the devil. And that's why I'm exposing him, so that he'll be, so that he's bound here on earth. So God to bind him even more. He took his life, because this Pope John Paul II took the lives, helped take the lives of over 7 million Jews, millions of blacks, Croatians, all different types of nationalities of people. These Vaticanites are monsters to burn up babies and call it a turkey shoot, and their mothers and dads, and to destroy people, innocent people, in the World Trade Center. White House, they should paint it black. That would really expose them. If we could only paint it black as it really is. Okay, then what?
And Tocqueville's quote came from a book, Descent into Slavery, by Dick Griffin, emissary
by Dick?
D-E-S, and Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, Emissary Publications, page 267.
Okay.
In her youth, the United States was very good. On her money, her trust in God was proclaimed.
Now they won't even allow you to say God in the courtroom. They replace God with evolution. And that's why this, and many other things, they've taken the Christ out of Christmas. And now they're wondering why we've collapsed. And wonder why they're so stupid that they don't even know that they've collapsed. It's because you're dead in your sins and trespasses. You're cowards. You're afraid to expose Satan. Satan is condemned. Jesus said he destroyed the works of Satan. And he told us how to destroy the works of Satan, how to bind him here on earth, and then God finishes him off from heaven. Amen?
Amen.
But you stinking cowards. And now you're just laying down and letting Satan, the killers, these murderers, because there's no supervision over children anymore, you're letting them kill your children and say, I forgive them. When the Bible plainly states that where there is the law is for the lawless. If a person kills somebody, you have to take their life. They have to be killed. Because they plan to murder. Thou shalt not murder. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. If there's somebody murdered somebody, you have to take them to justice and make sure that you do what the Lord says. Otherwise, the whole world is going to go crazy as it is. A world gone wild, a world gone berserk, because there's no law but the law of evil, of sin and death. That's what this world is operating on, is the law of sin and death. Okay, go ahead.
The great blessing of God rested upon this nation. As the United States grew to greatness, she gradually abandoned the principles that made her great. Until today, she is approaching a very tragic end. The process of the decline of America is similar to the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Let us examine a little of the history of ancient Rome and notice the parallels. As the early Roman Empire was beginning to develop, it was building on the solid premise that the family unit was the cornerstone of society. Morality and discipline were the cornerstones of the family unit. As the empire developed, liberalism crept in, and the morality and discipline that protected society began to disappear. By the beginning of the 2nd century AD, most families had given in to the liberal trends, and their children were allowed to do pretty much as they pleased. Quote, having given up the habit of controlling their children, they let their children govern them and took pleasure in bleeding themselves white to gratify the expensive whims of their offspring. The result was that they were succeeded by a generation of idlers and wastrels who had grown accustomed to luxury and lost all sense of discipline. Unquote. Jerome Caracopino, Daily Life in Ancient Rome, Yale University Press, pages 78 through 79.
Okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow. We've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left. So I'm going to call Sharon here to read some more of that which I've written or laid down here to of how to have God's life living in you. All right, let's go.
There are people who believe the book of Revelation should be shunned, mainly because of its mysterious nature or character.
They believe that the book of Revelation should be shunned because of why?
Mainly because of its mysterious nature or character. Is it any wonder? It is only one of the devices of Satan to get the people of the Lord to neglect the book which foretells Satan's eternal punishment in the bottomless pit and finally the lake of fire. Satan especially hates the books of Genesis and Revelation. That's why he attacks the authority of God and seeks to have Revelation neglected. As I said, Revelation is not only a prophetic book.
And they have taken Genesis away and put evolution in its place. That's the devil. That's the devil, folks. And you don't bind him, you just let him teach it in the school. If you're the people and you want to be blessed by God, then rise up and tell him that it has to go out and start teaching Genesis. Amen?
Amen.
Creation, Genesis, is what should be, must be taught in order for this country to start being blessed again. All right, then what else?
It is also a book of symbols. It is written in symbols language.
Symbolic language, yeah.
That is the meaning of the statement in the title, quote, he sent and signified, unquote, by his angel unto his servant John.
Now, signified means that he showed him pictures. That's signifying. And he showed him a sign. Signs and pictures are the same thing. Then signifying is the same thing. Okay, go ahead.
The word I say again means given in signs or pictures and symbols. There are more signs and symbols in the book of Revelation than in any other book in the Bible, but they are all explained. There are in other places in the Bible. No one can understand Revelation if they don't understand the book of Daniel. The prophet Daniel was told to, quote, seal up, unquote, the words of his prophecy until the time of the end.
Okay, but now the Lord instructs John to write it down in a book. Go ahead. Except for the seven thunders. Okay, keep going.
The prophet Daniel was told to seal up the words of his prophecy until the time of the end, not the exact end of time, but the end of the times of the Gentile. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 and 9.
But okay, so at the time of the Gentiles, it's sealed up until Israel is returned to her homeland. Now God has returned back to some of us Jews, and now we're out preaching the gospel and rebuking all the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, who have fallen away from the Lord and have become part of the Antichrist cult, church, Rome. Okay? So we Jews are the 144,000 that are coming back, like 144,000 John the Baptist, making the way of the Lord straight in your mind. Not one person saying this and another person saying that. There's no private interpretation of the Word of God. It means exactly what it says. And if you, and also in Daniel and Revelation and other books in the Bible, like Zechariah, where there's symbolic talk, you must learn the Bible to know know the symbols, the figures, the types, the shadows, the metaphors. Okay, then what?
But John was told to, quote, seal not, unquote, the sayings of the book, for the time is at hand. Revelation chapter 22, verse 10.
So when you begin understanding the book of Revelation, then the time is at hand. And I'm going to show you the book of Revelation as God showed it to John, so that you'll know that this is the end of time. Okay, then go ahead.
The book of Revelation was written for those who are acquainted with the Word of God.
Not to people that out there in the secular world like USA Today. They don't know the Word of God, or the History Channel, or all these other maniacs that just keep trying to explain the Bible. They don't know. They're not saved. They're not born again. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. Okay, then what?
Those who have studied the Word of God are a special class.
We're a special breed of people, those of us that have been born again, the Spirit's in us, and we've studied the Word of God. We're not like you out there. Then what else?
We are a special breed, those of us who have spiritual discernment. It is not for the carnally minded people or reader. Quote, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29.
And I see our time is up. But you make sure to tune in tomorrow, will you please? So you can hear part 56 rather, of how to have God's life living in you. You need the Spirit of God in you to be able to understand the Bible. And so you can have that happen to you right now by crying out to God with this prayer. Cry out now. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with your Father by the Spirit. And wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will positively save my soul. Because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that includes me. And I have called upon you, and therefore I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. That is, raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord for saving your soul and for entering into your spirit with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus with the Father by the Holy Spirit. And now just keep reading the Word, because the Word is Spirit, it's life, and the Word is God. And choose the King James Version, please. All right, so this is tape 157, and if you'd like to have a copy of it, mention whether you'd like the tape or this CD, and just give them the website number that they can order it from.
AlamoMinistries.com.
That's simple, isn't it? Remember the Alamo? AlamoMinistries.com. It's spelled just like Alamo. All right, and don't fail to tune in tomorrow for part 56, and we're going to read a little bit more from these books, and we'll tell you if we can how to get a copy of it. We may be printing one of them, but until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, and thank God that you received whatever it was that the Lord was teaching you today, and we'll see you mañana, tomorrow. Amen.